Thank you, Charlie. Good morning. When you wake up in the morning and realize that you're still alive, do you say, thank God? Do you thank the Lord that you're alive when you realize you're alive? Seems kind of foolish, but I know that there are some movies that I've watched, some horror movies where the people were scared to go to sleep at night. And when they did sleep at night, they were really, I guess you could say, amazed, if not thrilled, that they were alive in the morning. In the horror movies, there's always something after them or something like that. And they had some reason to be afraid. Perhaps they were living among some dangerous threat. The world that we live in hasn't really been that way, at least in most of our lifetimes. However, there's always been somewhere around the globe something that kept people from sleeping at night. Something that kept people worried. Something that people had to fear. In our lifetimes, however, there have always been people living in those places. There are literally within our own country now places where people can't go to sleep at night without worry of assault or molestation. Even other places where people don't feel safe in their own homes. I'm thankful we live in a place where we don't have to live in constant fear. Despite all the trouble and turmoil in our world, all people have reason to be thankful. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 and 45. Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 and 45. Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." The first part of this passage may seem difficult until we read the second part. Why should we love our enemies, and why should we bless them that curse us? Why would anybody want to do something like that? Well, because that makes us like our Father, which is in heaven, who blesses all, even the evil and the good, with the everyday blessings that we enjoy. Most of these blessings we take for granted. The air we breathe, the food we eat. You'll hear a prayer, as we heard as a while ago, a prayer of thank you for the things that we enjoy, the blessings that we receive, our houses, our cars, our family and our friends, the food we eat. What about the more obscure things like our heartbeat? You ever thought about that? I remember when I was a very young boy, and there was a man that was friends with a family, and he would come over occasionally, and always liked him. He was a very likable guy, and I was very attached to him. And one day he died, and I remember asking my mom why. And I had not really experienced death or been around death much, and she, to the best of her ability, explained to me that, well, his heart just quit beating. And what do you tell a little boy when they ask you why somebody died that made them really sad? And she said, well, his heart just quit beating. I remember for a while being scared, wondering, what if my heart suddenly quit beating? After all, I wasn't doing anything to make it tick, and I surely couldn't do anything should it decide to stop. Using that logic, then, we're not promised another heartbeat, yet we're blessed with a constant rhythmic beating of our hearts that keep our organs working and keep our bodies alive. And how often do we thank God for that? Remember the song, Count Your Blessings? Count your blessings, name them one by one. It starts out, when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. It goes on, are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly. And you will be singing as the days go by, I don't know if my songbook is different than the ones here, but the next verse I didn't recognize. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you His wealth untold. Count your many blessings. Money cannot buy your reward in heaven nor your home on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend. Help and comfort give you till your journey's end. How many blessings have we counted as blessings? Literally everything that we have been given, we receive from God. James chapter 1 and verse 17. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. How often do we thank God for the things that we normally take for granted? For instance, when you count your blessings, do you think of your spouse? Do you think of your job, your home, your patriotic freedom, your religious freedom, your health, your family? The list goes on, and I'm sure that most of you agree that these are the great blessings from God, and we are grateful for those. But they're all the things that are naturally, that we are naturally thankful for, that we take for granted. How many times does a wife tell her husband, I think you take me for granted, or vice versa? I don't. Just don't say it enough, maybe. And we see those things. Are you an optimist or are you a pessimist? The pessimist finds fault in everything, like, well, we got some rain today. Yeah, but we didn't get enough. Or, yeah, I know. Now I got to go wash my car. I heard you got a promotion. Yeah, just what I need. More responsibility. The optimist, on the other hand, will look for those blessings that most of us take for granted. There are some people that are inherently better at finding those blessings and seeing those blessings and pointing them out. These are the, if life hands you a lemon, make lemonade kind of people. I would venture to say that with all the blessings that we receive as Christians, we should all be this type of people. We should all look for the blessings in everything. From our song comes the line, so amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. If I were to ask, what is the greatest blessing you have ever received? What would your answer be? For some, this is a no-brainer. For others, they may say one thing, think a minute, but say, no, maybe it's this. Or wait about, what about this? Or I don't know, I've been blessed so much, it's really hard to pick just one. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Interesting passage here. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. A very interesting passage. I'm sure we've all read it before at one time or another or heard it preached. That phrase, hath made us meet. Hath made us meet. It's an awkward phrase. We don't talk like that. It's not something we would say. But it literally means that God has enabled us. God has enabled us. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet. Which hath enabled us. That's awesome. God has enabled us. God has enabled us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And if that's not blessing enough, He has also delivered us from the power of darkness. Delivered us from the power of darkness. That's a key phrase. How can we be delivered from something that we were never a part of? The answer is we can't. We can't be delivered from something that we're not part of, or we haven't been part of. Therefore, we must have been in darkness before becoming Christians. Being in darkness simply means not being in God's light. That's not only easy to see, but the scriptures bear it out. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, there's a start of a thought that is started here that doesn't end until Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Whole sermons have been printed on this passage alone, on these two verses alone. What greater words could ever be spoken as to how we are to act as Christians created in the very image of God? But it continues, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." A long passage. The word for sometimes, for verse 8, "for ye were sometimes darkness." The word, the Greek word for sometimes there is pote. And sometimes is a unfortunate translation of that word, because the word pote literally means aforetime. You were aforetime darkness. This is the darkness that we were delivered from in Colossians 1 and verse 13. You were before in darkness, but now you are in light. The word delivered comes from the Greek word ruamai. The literal translation is to rescue. We were rescued from darkness. We take for granted the blessing that we were rescued from darkness. We come together and we sing songs and we come together and worship, and we take our worship for granted. It had never before been seen the way it's been seen within the last 9 months. How much we take our worship for granted. I was talking to Mel last night, and he was talking about the congregations around San Antonio that closed down for the pandemic. And he said, we were only closed for, I think he said, 4 or 5 Sundays. And he said, and there was only one other congregation that remained open throughout the whole time in San Antonio. In San Antonio. We never closed our doors, and for some, we lavished on the thought that we were blessed at being able to come and worship. And it's still there, and the opportunity is still there. For those who have not been among us, that blessing still belongs and is still here. We have been rescued from darkness. What a blessing that is. Has there ever been a time in our lives where the battle between darkness and light is more prevalent? If there is, I can't remember it. The forces of evil are all around us. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world." Against spiritual wickedness in high places. As Christians, we can count the blessings knowing that we were once being controlled by the power of darkness, but now, having been rescued by God Himself from that darkness, we have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. If that isn't a blessing, I don't know what is. How terribly sad it is that many people in our world are missing out on the greatest blessing that God could offer and that man could ever receive, because they love darkness more than they love the light. John chapter 3 verses 19 and 20. John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. When we come to the realization that we're walking in darkness and take the appropriate action, then is when God translates us into the kingdom. But from our verse in Ephesians, that translation is into the kingdom of His dear Son. This brings up an interesting parallel. If we're translated into the kingdom, then what were we rescued from? Logically, we were rescued from the kingdom of Satan and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We know that Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, and we're translated into the kingdom of Christ. We were part of a kingdom before the kingdom of Satan as the ruler of this world. Have you ever heard someone say something like, "Well, I believe they're keeping us in the dark." They're keeping us in the dark, meaning that they're just not telling us about everything that we need to know. Satan literally wants to keep us in the dark. And sadly, too many people today are eager to oblige. The question I have is, how many people who have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son have allowed the prince of this world to lure them back into darkness? And how many are teetering as we speak? They're on the verge of being lured back into that darkness. How many have stepped over the line, have gone back to that darkness? How many are already on the highway to hell and don't even know it or don't want to admit it because deep down they love the darkness more than the light? 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Very graphic passage of what it's like to cross back over into the darkness after having been brought into the light. You ever thought about those people who were once faithful but now are walking in darkness? Have you ever wondered what happened to them? Have you ever thought about those who have come amongst us, who have obeyed the gospel, become part of God's family, and then just one day just slipped off into nowhere? You run into them, "How are you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing fine. I've been real busy. I just haven't had time. What happened? What happened to them?" But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned into his own vomit again. A sick and graphic passage there that points out the truth of reality. What was so alluring that they forsook the greatest blessing that God could ever give and that man could ever receive, and returned to walking in darkness? Now, they are worse off now than they were before, and we have the same charge. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them, or worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." Perhaps in some sick and twisted way, some have drawn the conclusion from this passage that they might as well not even obey the gospel. However, that's not the truth. Because if they've come to that conclusion, that means that they've already received the knowledge of the truth. They already understand the truth, apparently, and are just trying to avoid it. When was the last time you counted your blessings? And do you consider your salvation the greatest blessing that you've ever received? when I asked the question, what is the greatest blessing you ever received? Did you immediately think, I've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, and that was the greatest blessing I could ever receive. I have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the greatest blessing I could ever receive. I love my wife. I love my family. I love my church family. I even love my country. But there's not a greater blessing than the salvation that is offered by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you don't count that as your greatest blessing, maybe it's time to do some deep study and see exactly what you were rescued from and what it cost our Lord and Savior to rescue from you from that. Perhaps you're still in darkness even now. Would like to know what you need to do in order to be rescued from that darkness. Perhaps it is that you thought you were in light. Perhaps it is that you thought you were doing right, or you thought you had it all together. Maybe you still think you have it all together. But what does the Bible say? What does it clearly say? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must have faith. Will that translate us into the kingdom of God? We must repent. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You won't be translated unless you repent. You shall likewise perish. Acts 17:30 says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And we must confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32-33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. You may be saying, I've done those things. I believe. I have faith. I've repented. I have confessed my belief in Christ. Have you been baptized for the remission of sins? Oh, I've been baptized. Was it for the remission of sins? Was it for the right reason? Was it in the right way? Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Finally, we must remain faithful unto death. Matthew 24:13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. If you have any need, the message is yours. Won't you stand while together we sing the song that's been selected?